Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
I'm delighted now to be joined by the fantastic Irish comedian Alison Spittle. Hi, Alison.
Hi, Brendan. How are you doing?
Great. Good to see you. So you're off to Edinburgh Festival next week with a new show called Big. What were you going to call it?
Am I allowed to say it on air?
I don't know.
Say I was going to call it Fat Bitch.
Okay.
That's what I was going to call it. But unfortunately, you couldn't put it on a poster. And the Edinburgh Council wouldn't let you put it on a poster. So I thought of a euphemism and it's going to go for Big.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
what's it about?
It's about being a fat bitch, basically, Brendan. It's about like last year I got into some health difficulties and I believe that is what's known as effing around and finding out stage of my life. And a doctor told me I had to lose weight and try to lose weight the, like, what would they call it? The normal way. And wasn't working. Just couldn't do it. And went on those jabs, the Mounjaro jabs. And the show is about the process of going to hospital, about being on the jabs. And also because I've lost weight. It's about the way, like, the best thing about losing weight is that now I can catch buses. Like, before, buses weren't for me. I was manifesting them. Like, I was like, what's meant for me won't pass me. But now, like, the worst thing about losing weight is that people treat me nicer. So,
okay.
Yeah, and that's what the show
is. So, you know,
this is
a contentious conversation in the culture at the
moment. Go for it,
and
I'm going to be honest.
And it's equally,
no,
what could possibly go wrong here? A middle-aged man is going to ask a younger woman about her relationship with her body.
Well, because you've lost weight. I was very interested in talking to you about it because you were fat and now you're not. So, like, yeah, like, I'm happy to talk. I'm happier to talk to it with you than I am with other people.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
So hit me with it.
All right. So, what's it like when they told you you had to lose weight?
Very sad, because I think I spent my whole life, I've been fat since I was 8 years old, and definitely been told, like, since I was a teenager, that, like, my life would be socially worse because I was fat. You know, they would be like when I was starting off comedy, they were like, you'd have to lose weight if you want to get on television. And that kind of made me more determined to get on television whilst being fat. It didn't give me the motivation to lose weight. It gave me the motivation to try and work as hard as I could, you know. And I would get, like, I'd get people calling me a fat bitch on the street and stuff. But I knew, like, that there was something internally wrong with them, that they felt the need to, like, they're not, if a fella comes up to you in Temple Bar and calls you a fat bitch, he's not doing it out of concern for your health. He's not. So, like,
but it's hurtful.
Of course it's hurtful. Absolutely hurtful. Yeah, like, it is. But it's also, like, it just kind of made me angry. And, like when men would tell me they didn't find me attractive, I wasn't interested in men finding me attractive. And I actually found it to be, like, quite, I was like, good. I don't want you to. And it kind of, I did spend my whole life being like that. I grew up in the Celtic Tiger. I grew up with, like, poor Glenda Gilson shivering in a bikini at the top of Grafton Street. That was my teenage life, was seeing women always be held up for what their bodies look like. Even, like, you know, television in the mid-2000s was like that. And it's like, I felt like by staying fat, it was like a rebellion against that culture, like the Irish culture, which is like, you know, women go on telly with, like, full hair blowouts. I know my hair is mad today and everything, but I'm doing this because I want it. And I'm not saying that women don't do it because they don't want to. But there was something that didn't chime with me during that time. And it made me, like, it just made me not want to change. So, like, when I wanted to change because I was unwell and I was scared, and then I realised I couldn't change, like, that was scary. Because then I was like, right, this is like, I think I told myself this is like it was like I didn't want to change. And also food was a coping mechanism. So
would you say, like, were you kind of addicted to food? And
absolutely
some of,
addicted to food. And it would be like any kind of emotion would be attached, whether it's like celebrating something I get a takeaway, whether it's commiserating with something. Every time I ate, it was around, I barely ate because I was hungry. It was always around an emotion. It was always around something. Like, that's what it was like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you ask them to put you on the jabs, or did they eventually suggest the jabs, or how did that work?
Well, we were chatting and stuff, and I was like, I am like, I was basically gone because I was bedbound for like 2 weeks and I nearly died. So there was this part of me that was like determined to come out of hospital and be like, right, this is it. I'm going to change. And then it's like, you just can't stop. And then it was like, so scary. So I told the doctors, I looked up these injections. And like one of the doctors was like, I don't believe in easy outs. And like, the thing is, like when someone says, I don't believe in easy outs, like what does that mean? It means that they don't want a fat person to have it any easier to lose weight. And it's like, that's associated with like punishment. Do you know? And like the thing is like...
I'm surprised that a doctor, like, I mean, I think people in general can be judgy about the weight loss jabs.
Doctors are the worst.
Are they the worst?
I went into hospital when I was 8 years old. I slammed my hand at a car door by accident. You can see the bone through it. Went up to the doctor. You know, the doctor looked one look at my hand and he went, you need to lose weight. And I'm like, if anything, the fatness has helped here because, you know, I've built my own cushion. I didn't break my hand. Doctors are like doctors. Some doctors are fine, but some doctors, doctors are human beings.
So,
you know,
so what's the process then to qualify for the jabs?
Well, you can, well, you just have to be overweight. You just have to be an amount of overweight. And I hit that criteria. So I was given the injections.
And what's it like being on the injections? Because we hear stories about terrible side effects on one hand. And we hear stories about it taking the joy out of people's lives and the joy of eating.
It's taking the joy out of eating for me. Yeah, definitely. But like, that's grand. You know, like some people don't like music. Do you know, there are some weird people who don't like music and like they're human beings and they move on and they just enjoy other things. And I used to really, really enjoy food. Do you know what it has done? It's made me like not like mediocre food. Like I just get mad if I'm eating mediocre food. So it has to be either fueling me or the best food possible. So it's made me more choosy just about like, because it doesn't give me dopamine anymore. There's no dopamine.
Really?
No. No dopamine off it.
Okay, so the kind of addiction comfort thing is broken.
Exactly.
Basically.
It's the cycle. I haven't sorted out the psychological aspect.
Yeah.
That would
take too long. Like,
no, I know, genuinely.
Yeah, so
you
need something else now.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's it. But look, this is it. No one's ever going to... Like, I think you could just go through your whole life. I never lived my life, and I'm not saying this to slag off anyone who has, but like... The big thing about being fat, or the big thing that I worked on myself about, was not trying to go, I'm going to live my life when I lose weight. I'm going to wear that dress when I lose weight. Like,
yeah.
I hate when I hear people talk about getting married and they're like, I need to lose weight for the wedding. What? So you can look at your wedding pictures from a couple of years ago and go, I hated the top of my arms. It's supposed to be the happiest day of your life of your partner. Do you know, it really shouldn't, like...
So were you as happy... When
being fat.
Yeah.
I think I was. Like, I'm not far enough away from it.
I know.
Do you know, that's the annoying thing.
Do you sense it all? Do you feel better about yourself or...
I can move around a lot quicker.
Okay.
Like, and like, I enjoy... Like, I didn't... But like, my like people go, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for a hike? I wouldn't go for a hike because I didn't enjoy it because I wasn't like fit. So it was just like an aspect of my life that I didn't like. Now that I'm getting fitter, I enjoy it. It's like the hobby that I had with food is now being taken up with going for a walk.
Yeah. So look, the relationship with the person before,
yeah,
I know, is a very complicated one. Like,
it
isn't
is.
It?
I don't want to denounce her. I'd hate her. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Because I remember like...
And she wasn't like unhappy or lacking in something or...
No, and that's the... And that's... But the thing is like... So like... I was on Pointless Celebrities this year. It came out this year, but it was filmed 2 years ago. And it was the fattest I ever was. And I watched it with my family. And one member of my family turned around to me and goes, you're half the size you were. Look at you there. You were so fat. You're half the size you were there. And I'm looking at
triumphantly, Pointless. Like, they were saying it to you, congratulations.
Congratulations. But that was the happiest day of my life. I love Pointless. Like, Pointless is like one of the biggest ambitions I ever wanted in my life. And that was the happiest day of my life. And I was the fattest I ever was. And I'm not going to look back at that and go, I wish I was thinner. I wish I got the question right at the end of the round where I'd win the money.
Okay.
Like, that's my regret. But not being, like, being fat is just like, it just feels weird. It feels weird to denounce myself for something.
When you look back, what was your attitude to it? Did you have feelings around it? Did you think about it much?
About being fat?
Yeah. Was it making you less happy or making your life smaller?
Yeah. Like, I didn't like the way the people were treating me.
Okay.
Like, I did not like that. I didn't like if there was a fella drunk on the train, that like the interaction between me and him would probably end in him calling me a fat bitch. Like that was annoying. I didn't like, because I think like women have to deal a lot with like what do you call it, street harassment. It wasn't as if I was like waiting to be wolf whistled, but I was waiting for someone to demean me. And I always kind of felt annoyed that to be conventionally attractive was seen as like a value judgment. Do you know, that always annoyed me.
So it wasn't about how you felt about yourself, it was about how other people, yeah. And do they, are people different now?
They are different. Really? They are different. And like, because I do comedy and I come back and forth, like, and that's why I've dyed my hair a mad colour as well, is because like, I was kind of weirded, not weirded out, that's a wrong reaction, but every time someone would be surprised to see me and go, you've changed, it made me kind of like, be a little bit defensive of the person I was a year ago. Do you know? Because like, when you're fat, no one kind of congratulates you for turning up. Do you know what I mean? But when you get thinner, there is like an almost weird kind of congratulations. It's an implication, do you know?
Yeah.
And it feels...
So what are people saying to you in various ways? God, you look great.
Oh, and all that. Yeah. Or some fella... Now, I didn't like this fella, but he was like, oh, like, what's the secret? Do you know, you've after losing so much weight. And I was like, I have worms. I told him I had worms because I just didn't want him talking to me. And I thought if it sounded like I had a parasitic infection, he might leave me alone. But it's that kind of thing. Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. Yeah. I don't know. How do you feel about it? Because you lost weight. Like, yeah, we haven't seen each other in a decade.
It's probably been a while now, like, but it is totally weird. I think it's a very personal thing, isn't it? Like, it's hard to know at times, and like, you know, it'll go on your whole life is one thing I would say.
I think
for me it's just,
do you feel
up and down all my life kind of thing. And look, the thing is, one thing is, like, not so much now, but people used to come up to me and say, geez, you've lost a load of weight. How did you do it, right?
Yeah.
Women would come up asking for their husbands and stuff like that.
And
people are less inclined to now because I think losing weight has become more complicated in the culture, hasn't it?
Like, with the injections.
Ask Adele. No, the attitude to it. So, like, people see it as you're betraying yourself,
the personal,
you're betraying other larger people and the body positivity movement, or you're kind of admitting, aha, you never liked yourself anyway.
That's the, I think the third option is the thing that really gets me. And because it's like, because it's like sometimes I'm into the body neutrality movement. Like, that's what I would like.
Okay.
Is to like, I think fat people should hate, they'll be allowed to hate themselves as much as thin people. Thin people are allowed to go around and go, oh, I look terrible today. As a fat person, you have to feel like you have to, like, you have to quote Lizzo all the time in order to like qualify to be a fat person in public. Like, the messages I get after I go on telly is like, It's either people going, oh, you're incredible, go you, and all this, right? Or, and it's just for existing. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm a fat person.
Or for putting yourself out there.
Out there. And it's like,
yeah.
It's like, that shouldn't be an achievement in itself. Like, I think personally, like, I don't know if people would go up to, I'm trying to think of Darren Garrahy, and go, good for you, you're putting yourself out there. Like, why would they? Do you know? But for me, it's like a good for you. You're putting yourself out there.
This is an act of courage.
It's an act of courage. And it's like, I'm just existing. And the other types of messages I would get would be either, like, I remember I went on your show and we did telly together about 10 years ago. And I wrote this article. I think that's why I probably got on, because I wrote this article years ago about people openly calling me fat on the street and stuff. And I would get messages from people going like, you're glorifying obesity. And I'm like, thank you for thinking that I have that power to glorify obesity. I'm just existing. And they would go like, put down the bread, you're a fat bitch. And when they'd say that, like, I genuinely would just pick up bread and I'd eat it. Like, anytime anyone ever told me to like lose weight, I would eat more. That was the
really?
Way it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think it's like a coping mechanism because I'm hurt, but also like an act of defiance. I mean,
what would you say to, like, you know, people who are into body positivity would probably say, you should accept yourself the way you were, and that, you know, often even doctors telling people to lose weight is faux health concern for people, and that people can be just as healthy with weight on it.
Totally. So I think the doctor telling me to lose weight when I, like, hurt my hand in a car door is full concern.
Yeah.
I mean, the doctor telling me to lose weight because I had septicemia from cellulitis, which is not, and it's funny because you do have to go, it's a risk factor, it's not a causation. Being overweight is a risk factor involved in cellulitis. It didn't cause me to have cellulitis, but it is, it didn't help, right? And it's like, what would I say to the people in the body positivity?
Yeah, you know the way
that?
Adele, like, yeah, left everybody down.
I remember where I was. I remember opening up Instagram and going, no, you were supposed to be fat for us all. Like, genuinely, it was a life-changing moment when Adele lost weight. But now I look back and I'm like, Adele has to live her own life and not be held, as an example to everyone. No one should be held as an example. Everyone should be allowed to do what they do. And like, if someone...
Yeah, that your your body is not like some kind of political
statement. And it never was.
And we're all entitled to our own relationship with it.
I think so. I think like before I saw my body as like some sort of like almost like a litmus test for people being... I'm trying to think of a word. Give me a nice word to say in the morning about like someone who would like... go out of their way to make someone feel bad. Like,
yeah, okay.
I know it's a
tough
one. I know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
that's a difficult one.
Let's call John, right? Some John who always felt like a litmus test for those people because I didn't want them in my life. Do you know, like, you got to look at, like, if a person treats a waiter badly, you judge him. You go like, oh, you know, they're not a nice person. You should be like that about fat people as well. Because, like, being fat, like, I became fat because of definite, like, coping mechanisms. Because as a kid, the only thing I had control over was food. And it became like a kind of thing of, like, I thought I had control over food. Food had control over me, and I found it out, like, last year. But that was my kind of... That was my kind of thing with it, was that like it was a control thing for me, and I felt
so. It was a kind of an eating disorder, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. But it's funny because I didn't see it as an eating disorder before because I didn't want to change. Do you know what I mean? Like, I went to Slimming World when I was a kid, and I definitely participated in stuff when I was a teenager because I was encouraged to, you know. So like, and then when I was an adult,
when you look back on that now.
How do I feel about
it?
I don't know. I think people are trying their... I don't know. I feel...
Some people now feel very angry about when they were children that they would maybe, older generations, had different attitudes to this and would have pushed them into this kind of thing when they were kids.
Yeah.
And that it started a lifelong kind of...
Come here. I think,
cycle.
Though, the diet, there is like... Somebody's diets, though, are the big...
Did you do the diets and the regimes down the years?
When I was a kid, I did.
Yeah.
I did Slimming World and Weight Watchers. I understood the concept of sin points. But sin points in Slimming World is a ridiculous concept of, like... So a whole banana is 0 sin points. A mashed banana is 3. Like, how is that? And considering you have to mash the banana in your mouth.
I think it's to do with the GI, like. It's,
what? Yeah, go on, tell me now.
Well, mashed potato is worse than, like, a new potato.
You
and me probably know way too much about this stuff.
This
we lose
it.
People
You're
know
like,
if we go down that, if we go down this rabbit hole here. But
it's like me talking about football. You bring up Porter Vale FC and I'm like, this is very deep knowledge, friend. You're a big fan. Yeah.
Come here. Is it harder, do you think, if you're a woman?
To lose weight or to be existing?
Existing, yeah.
I think so. What do you mean, like on telly or whatever?
Yeah, well, saying that in the public sphere, yeah.
I think so.
Is there more of an expectation that women present themselves in a certain way if they're going to have the nerve to present themselves
Definitely.
On television and
I've
stuff?
I've never
yeah.
appeared on television without someone being wildly angry that I was fat and on television. And it was like they needed to tell me. They needed to go... You do know you're fat and you've the temerity to go on television. And it was just like, I think there's a deep anger in some people. Like the messages, I can't even say the messages I get like at this time of the day, but it's Like, I got a message from one lad, and I think he's into fat women. And he was so angry that I rejected him. Like, he basically, like, it was very funny how quick the switch goes from, like, you're a big, beautiful woman to then you're a fat bitch. Like, it's mad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. They're a special type of person, they are.
Come here.
You know?
You're kind of like, so I suppose you're a comedian and everything. You're upbeat about all of this.
Yeah.
But like, is there a lot of residual?
There's a lot of anger.
Going to say like hurt and vulnerability. Is there? It's anger, is it?
No, I can feel. Like my like even chatting to you. Like I feel like there's this, and I suppose that's why the show was so important to me to be able to do the show. Like it's a comedy show, but I'm so angry in it. Like, I'm just so angry. And I think it's the anger of, like, to get a compliment now over what you look like now is, like, basically, I don't know, I feel like it's, like,
yeah,
it's kind of like they're just happy you weren't the way you were 2 years ago. And that kind of feels very hurtful. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very angry.
So angry on behalf of...
Of
you before.
Definitely. And angry on behalf of, like, the annoying thing is, like, what I hate about these injections is these injections are going to get cheaper. They're going to be more, there's going to be more widespread in the next 10 years. And people are going to be looking at fat people and go, why do you exist when Mount Jarrow exists? When Mount Jarrow doesn't work for everyone and stuff. And I shouldn't be, like, being fat, like, fat people aren't a problem that needs to be eradicated. Yeah. I think personally, like I had to lose weight for my health and everything like that. And I've no apologies over that. But like, you know, the way I was treated doesn't merit, like there's nothing, I'm not thankful to anyone who ever Instagram messaged me or said stuff to me on the street. Like they're nothing to do with this. I'm doing this because of me.
This is a tricky line, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So on one hand, we now have a solution that will work for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. But you think that there could be an underlying attitude to it of we can eradicate the fat people?
Definitely. But there's been an attitude of that before. Like, do you know, like, it's this thing of, like, I don't know how you lost weight. I presume you lost weight before Mount Jarrow. So is it diet and exercise and stuff?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And it's like, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like there's some people who are like, I did it the old fashioned way. Why can't they do that? And it's like, well, they did what, like, I don't think there's a moral, like, I'm by the way, sorry, I'm riddled with ADHD, so I go around everywhere, so you'll have to control me.
Yeah.
But like, I was chatting to this other fat female comedian. I was crying on the couch about stuff like a few weeks ago. And she said to me, like, Alison, I hate to break it to you, but you're still fat. And that made me, I don't know why, I was so happy. I was so happy. Because my whole identity, my whole life has been like the fat friend, like the facilitator, the bouncer of the friendship group. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like men didn't approach me. It was approaching me for my friends and everything like that. I felt like a gatekeeper, do you know?
So you haven't to rethink who you are now.
Yeah, I do. And I don't know what I am, do you know? And still, I'm not like, it's weird. I don't know what I am. So
I don't think fat person ever goes away.
Good.
In a way.
Because like being fat made me have a nice personality.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know whether I'm fat or I don't know whether I'm nice or I'm just fat.
Fat people are jolly.
Yeah, but we are though, because we have to make ourselves useful. Like,
okay.
We do. Genuinely. Do you think, I don't know, what was your weight journey throughout your life? Were you a fat kid?
At times.
And like, did you notice your role change when you, between being thin and fat, like your social role?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I've just spent my whole life being fat, my role has always been the fat friend, or, you know, I'd accompany my friends to the clothes shop, but I wouldn't participate in going to the clothes shop because there wouldn't be anything to fit me.
That all sounds very sad, though.
Yeah, it is. But, like, yeah? Do you think so? I don't know. Maybe I was, like, is it a thing of, like...
Or you were happy in who you were. It's just sometimes when you say something like that,
that makes you
sad.
Oh,
the nice clothes aren't for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's, like, I think maybe with the food addiction thing, like... I have control over food. And then, like, last year I realised I didn't have control over food. So I know that's the realisation. The realisation of that like, maybe it was because, like, I said I wasn't in, like, I was like, I'm not into fellas. I don't care about that aspect of my life. I'm going to concentrate on other aspects of my life. Like, I really, and I genuinely, I think, like, I used to think I was asexual when I was growing up because I listened to a lot of Morrissey. But then I realised that I left Westmead and I was like, no, I'm not. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing of, like, you don't know. You build this identity for yourself.
Yeah, and how much of it was formed by the fact that...
I was very into accessories, Brendan. I was very into hair clips and mad accessories and stuff like that. And, yeah, I don't know what aspects of my personality are my personality or what aspects I've built around being fat. I don't denounce either of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going
to
look at
it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be saying to you, that's very sad, like, and that's terrible and everything.
No.
Like, yeah,
no, I know.
Come here.
If I did think that, I'd be clapping back at you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm happy to talk to you about this.
Come here. How is it doing this as a comedy show then? Is it a bit raw?
It is a bit raw. It is a bit. And I don't know, like, well, I'm working on the show now. By the time it comes to the Dublin Fringe, it's going to be tight, you know, and like the last 20 minutes at the moment for me, like, it's a lot of me talking about the way I feel. And it's a lot of, like, the bigger ideas. There's loads of, like, anecdotes because I was in hospital and there's so much funny stuff happened when I was in hospital. I was like, right, I'm going to do a show about that. But then because I had to, like, make an effort to lose weight, there was also these feelings. So it's like, it is a funny show. There's loads of, like, anecdotes and stuff, but there is a lot of stuff where I'm talking about, like, I really want to throw it home. Like, I'd love for people to come. If you're fat or if you hate fat people, I want you to come as well. Because, like there's the kind of, not that there's only two types of people, but, like, it is raw at the moment, but I hope it's, like...
You've been doing it, kind of workshopping it in front of people, have you?
I have. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out what is context and what is trauma dumping. And hopefully, in a month, I'll know. Do you know?
Yeah. So has there been an aspect of trauma dumping, yeah?
Well, yeah, because you have to talk... Like, I want to, like... I think every there's... There, fat people aren't a monolith. And there's different reasons of why people are fat, you know? And, like, the interesting thing to me is, like... Anyone can be fat. Like, I remember years ago, I was flyering for a referendum and there was a woman on the other end of the referendum. She was about, like, I'd say it was a size, like, 22 at the time. And she was about, I'd say, a size 12 or 14. And she came up to me and she's like, "You're a fat bitch," she called me, right? And then I go to her, "You're a fat bitch too." And she was so shocked, like, because she'd never been called fat before. And I'm like, that woman is, like, two big life events away from being fat. Like, you can have a horrible thing happen to you. You can come for eat. You can have, like, you know, like, it is a thing, like, anyone can become fat. And I think
Do you think trauma is at the root of a lot of it?
Not a lot. Well, definitely at the right root of mine. But I wouldn't say that for all fat people. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing. I don't know. Like, I don't know why. Do you know why you're fat? You don't have to say why you're fat, but do you know? Can you pinpoint?
Yeah, so I would say I probably don't have a disease called obesity. Like, would say I'm naturally probably, like, I'm naturally kind of gangly and stuff. I think I probably have a tendency, but I think definitely, like, it's about comfort eating and a relationship with food and a relationship with my body and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I think everybody comes to the place from different places, don't they? And that's why it's difficult to talk in general or have politics of it, because everybody has their own.
I feel like even talking to you, I'm like, I don't want to make, like, blanket statements about stuff because I'm never going to please everyone. And the funny thing is just, like, I was afraid about talking about this for such a long time.
Why?
Because I was afraid of, well, I think I was afraid of judgment anyway. There's this weird thing of being fat where you don't speak about it. It's like an unspoken thing, even though you're existing, do you know? It's that kind of, like, it's almost like when I say, like, I don't know what type of my personality is, like me being nice or fat, there is a kind of, like, almost an apology for being in the room, like, as a fat person. And, like, and the thing about, like, say, what was the thing I said and you said why there? And I'll go back to it. Sorry, Brendan.
You said that you were afraid to talk about it for a long time.
I was afraid to talk about it for a long time because I feared judgment. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, Alison, people are going to judge you for being fat in the first place. So why care about those people's judgments about talking about losing weight? Like, I'm just never going to please some people. Some people are just angry with you for being fat in the first place.
And I think people now are going to be angry with you for losing weight as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and losing weight there's in no a way win, that's is there? Like, there's no winning.
And you're not putting in the effort to lose the weight.
I'm not putting in the effort. I'm doing liquid willpower. And this whole thing of willpower and the whole thing of like, I thrive on it, Brendan. I thrive on the anger I feel where people go, like, you're not determined and you're not working hard enough. And it's like, why should I? Why should I? If there's an injection available there and it's making me not eat as much as I normally do. What
is
the moral?
All the side effects?
I think so. Like for the side you, effects anyway. I get are like smelly burps. Do you know what I mean? Or like heartburn or whatever. Or like I lost weight quite quickly. There's a load of side effects of losing weight quite quickly. They're not particularly from the injection themselves. So it's just like, but you know when you say it's worth the side effects? It's like, what am I getting out of it? When I was doing the survey to get these injections, they ask you about yourself and they go like, have you lost respect for yourself since you've put on weight? Now, I was 8 years old when I put on weight. I didn't understand long division, never mind the concept of self-respect. But I knew that what they wanted me to say was yeah. And it was a lot of surveys about how you feel about yourself. There was no question going, would you like men to stop calling you a fat bitch on the train if you're in their seat? Do you know what I mean? Like that's okay. The... Because I'd be lying if I said that aspect of my life I'm enjoying more of like the constant war I have being public, do you know?
A constant war?
Yeah, like of just going out and being like and my friend who's fat, like, got, like, I remember like being on the dart and having these 14-year-old lads like throw chewing gum in my hair. And it's because like I'm fat and I'm wearing mad clothes. But like, if I wasn't fat, I don't think they'd bother. They might bother, but like, it's like, do you know what it is? It's like being fat didn't cause my cellulitis, but it was a risk factor. And being fat doesn't necessarily cause the amount of crap I get on the street, but it's a risk factor.
So is doing the show then, is it a way of owning all this as well? Like,
I think so. Like I think I feel compelled to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I really want to talk about it. And I think like, there's this thing that like, we don't talk about with fat people is like the whys of fat. Why are you fat? It's all like we're always a problem to be solved, but there's never like a conversation about the causation of it. And it's like we just pretend that like fat people exist in the ether and that there's something to get rid of. And it's like, but I think we should be having a bigger conversation about why fat people exist. And yeah. I don't know. I've never talked so much about this in public and it's scaring me. Like, I'm already thinking of my Instagram. I know that's messed up. But yeah.
Well, you're thinking of what people will say now? Mm. Yeah.
And it's funny because I go, I don't care. But
do like, you not care though?
I mean, I'm crying, so I do. But I don't know. It's just like, what else is there to do? Just not exist. Do you know? Like, I don't know.
I know, but sometimes, though, do we not put on this thing where we say,
definitely.
I don't care what they all think. And even the fact of the way you hit back by going, I'm going to double down on on weight and everything. But
that is caring.
You do.
I have to admit that.
You do care.
Like, also, like, yeah, but, like, I do care. But it didn't make me want to change.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I don't know what they're getting over. It's just like an argument.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So people are probably thinking now, like, why is she doing this via a comedy show? But are we seeing increasingly that... But is comedy also becoming a way of telling really complicated stories now?
But that's always been the way. Yeah. That's always how I've seen comedy. As like... And also like... I feel like, so I've written plays and I've written TV shows, and with stand-up is like the actual pure form of like being able to express myself, because I'm the performer, I'm the writer, I'm the director. Everything is done for me. Even being interviewed, like, it's like I'll walk away from this interview and I'm like, I should have said that and I should have done this, whatever. But with the stand-up, like, that's all my responsibility and that's all. And also, like, you know the way you were like, oh, you know, you say that you don't care, but you're acting like you care. And then, like, what I take from that is like...
You're making that sound a bit more aggressive than
it
was.
You are so right. Yeah, you're right. But it's funny because like... But the thing is like, I joke all the time about horrible stuff. Like, that's how I tell my friends bad stuff has happened. It's always been like, like, I'll say it and then I'll make a joke straight away because that's just how I am. It's just another coping mechanism. Like, yeah. It's like, there's all, I think my whole personality is a coping mechanism and my whole life is revolved around coping mechanisms. And with the comedy, it is like a, it is like a kind of thing of like, this is the thing that's consuming me and all I'm thinking about. And my job is a stand-up comedian, so I need to make art about it, you know?
When you've done this show for the limited ways and times you've done it,
yeah,
do you come off the stage completely wrong out?
I hope not, and that's why I'm trying to, like, work on the show. Like, working on the show is like...
So that you're in it, but you're not completely going through it, like, in front of people.
Exactly, because I think a few years ago, like, I got robbed at knife point. I was like, oh, and it was, like, funny. It's funny, like... Like, saying I got robbed at knife point is, like, a scary thing to say, but I always told people through jokes, do you know what I mean? I'd always be like, that's mad, a fella came in this house with a pillowcase over his face. And, like, I would do stand-up about that, and I remember doing the Edinburgh Fringe, and I'd come off stage crying all the time. I'd be like, what's going on? Like, why is that? Because I couldn't process it, because I processed it through jokes before it went, that's messed up. And I think, like, this process is, like, I know it's messed up, and I'm trying to write jokes around it. And, like, because there is, like, so many funny aspects. And, you know, my favourite part of doing the show is, like, the jokes where only fat people laugh at it. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I love it. I'm sorry now, but a fat person's laugh to me is worth 10. Do you know, where I did a show in Cork. And I remember, like, I was doing this bit. It was an observational material by being fat. And then this... she wasn't heckling me, but this Finn woman goes, I can't believe that. And I was like, and the fat person was like, yeah, I can. Like, it's like, you know, there's that kind of aspect of it that I love. Yeah.
So listen, good luck. Good luck at Edinburgh. Mind yourself.
Doesn't it sound like a barrel of laughs, lads? Huh? There's nothing worse than someone promoting a comedy show crying.
But I love it, that comedy is just a coping mechanism. Your whole life is, all our lives is just a coping mechanism and defence mechanisms and everything. Big, after Edinburgh, you're coming back to the Project Arts Centre from September 16th to the 20th as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. And I'd say after this, I'd say you'll have to do some more shows. For tickets and more information, people can go to projectsartscentre.ie. We've a load of texts there, but I might get to them in a while. We're having time now.
No,
Alison Spittle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yay. Thanks.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.